All right, guys. It is Friday. How many of you guys feel totally tired right now? Like you could just fall asleep in your seat? Well, I hope you don't, because it would be no fun if I was up here and you guys were all out of it sleeping. To wake you guys up, we're gonna play like a game for like 3 seconds. How many of you guys have ever played Simon Says? All right. So right now we're gonna play Simon Says. So first of all, I want all of you to stand up. We're gonna start standing up.
We get points.
All right, all of you are out, so if you could sit back down. I didn't say Simon Says. All right, so now the game's over. You're all out, and maybe I frustrated some of you, and you're more awake than you were before. But when I got assigned to Genesis 35 and the part of Jacob's life where he comes to Bethel and is blessed by God, I thought it was so ironic because this is a passage that God used, that is loud, that God used in a huge way in my life just 2 months ago. And so I thought that it was very applicable and ironic that I got it. And I'm very thankful to be able to teach you guys this lesson this morning. And first, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would bless us this morning and that you would show us what you would have us to see. And I know that I can't teach unless you're with me. And I just pray that you would be here and guide me this morning. And for everyone here, that they'd be able to stay awake and listen and come away with a better view of you and how to live the Christian life. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And we've had a lot of speakers this week, obviously, and a lot of them have come up here and they've shown you their hearts and they've shown you some of the struggles they've gone through and how God has been victorious in their life. And that's kind of what I want to do this morning. Because a lot of times, I know when I went to camp as a teenager, I'd go to camp and, you know, all these preachers get up and these teachers get up and you're like, man, they are like untouchable. They know what's up in the Christian life and they know what's going on. And you never really get to see, you know, some of their struggles and some of the places they're coming from when they teach what they teach. And so if you'd come first to Genesis 32. And this is the same passage we went over last night, starting in verse 24. And it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.'" And you can see Jacob, he's coming to the point in his life where he needs God. He's going to go see Esau, and the last time he saw Esau, Esau wanted to kill him, and he needs God because he knows that Jacob could easily just wipe him out. And the angel of the Lord comes. Well, we don't know if it's angel of the Lord, but he later says that he named the place Peniel, for he had seen the face of God. And we know that this was somehow God, probably the pre-incarnate Christ. And he comes and he wrestles with Jacob all night. And when the daybreak comes, he says, "Let go of me." And Jacob says, "I will not let go unless you bless me." And that is very gripping when you actually think about it. He wrestled all night and would not let go unless God bless him. And just a couple months ago, I had just finished school and just gone home. And, you know, I had made this plan for my life. And I knew that I was going to graduate in December, and you know, 6 months from that I was going to do such and such, and then after that I was going to be at this point, and then I was going to move here and do that. And I had it pretty much all planned out. But then I got some news that, you know, took all those plans and made them impossible. And from May 10th to May 20th, I just kind of, in my heart, fought against God. And I was like, this can't be the way that you want me to go. This is not what I had planned. You know, what I had planned necessarily, it wasn't like wrong. But I can see now that it wasn't God's will for my life. And for about 10 days, I was struggling in my heart against that. This can't be right. This isn't what I wanted it to be. And then from May 20th to May 23rd, I kind of spent those 3 days just totally broken. And after those 10 days, just emotionally spent and weak. And I came to that point where for that 3 days, I was like, God, I don't know what's going on, but please just bless me. I don't even know what else to say. And God got me to the point where He made me realize that all I need to do is how Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, come before the Father and say, give us this day our daily bread. And you don't need to worry about, you know, 6 months down the road or a year down the road. You don't even know what a day brings forth. But just live every day and make the decisions that you have today that you know will please me and that you know are my will today. Because that's all we can live as people is day by day. And we don't know where we're going to be necessarily later on. But we do know if we are living in God's will, what God has for us today. And so then we get right after that to Genesis 35. And it says in verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God. And then appeared unto thee, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. And then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob bid them under the oak which was by Shechem, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because God appeared there unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And then in verse 9 it says, and God appeared unto Jacob again, and when he came out of Padanaram, and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, and thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And Jacob, right after, he wrestles all night and begs God, I will not let go, just bless me. He gets to the next chapter and God tells him to go to Bethel. And Jacob does exactly that. And that's what we need to be doing in our lives, is begging God, please, just bless me. And getting to the point where if God tells us to go somewhere, that we'll just go, even if it's just because God told us to. And notice what he does when he obeys God. He tells his family, put away all your idols, put away anything pagan and worldly that is among you. And, you know, you guys learned about this in your devotions yesterday, I know, is that you can't come before God unless you get rid of all the filthiness that is on you. You have to confess your sins and be washed by the blood of Christ before you can come before the King, a holy God. And this is what Jacob does. He puts away all the idols, and they give Jacob all the idols, and he puts them away, and he comes into the presence of God. And God blesses him. And God, you know, is proving himself to be faithful, because in Genesis 28, he promised Jacob, I will lead you safely into the land of your fathers, and I will bless you, and nations and kings shall come out of you. And when Jacob finally gets to the place where he obeys, it's like God is saying, I still will bless you. I still will make nations come out of you, and kings, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. But it's only after Jacob put away the idols. And Bethel, he comes back to Bethel, where God shows him who he is and how he has taken care of Jacob. And how about you guys? I hope that this week you have come to the point where you're like, I know that I just need God. And I know that I just need his blessing. And I will not let go of him unless he blesses me. And I hope that you've got to that point. I hope you've got to the point where you decide that all that's important in your life is that you follow the will of your God. I hope that that has become a number one priority in your life. And I hope that the worship of your God has become a huge part of your life this week. But it's one thing, you know, to decide those things. It's another thing to live them out day after day after day when people mock you and people that don't understand about Christianity say, what in the world are you doing? Why aren't you doing the things I do? Why don't you hang out with us anymore? Why, whenever we hang out, do you not swear? Why are you always talking about how awesome your God is? And those times can be hard. But it's when we live in fellowship with God that he can give us the strength to endure in those times. And I hope you've gotten to the point this week where your devotions have been so sweet to you. And that you, like David said, I love your law. It's my meditation all day and all night. I love it. And I hope you've gotten to that point this week. And I don't need any of you to raise your hands or anything, but how many of you have found it a little easier to be faithful to God this week than, you know, all the other weeks, you know, leading up to this? How many of you guys have found it a little easier to do that? And I think that if your answer is yes, it's easier, is because you wake up in the morning and what do? You have devotions. And then you go and you listen to a lesson and hear God's word again. And then you go play a game for a while, have lunch, and then you listen to preaching again. And then you do the same thing, you know, you go out, you have fun, have a blast, and then you come back and you hear preaching again. And then, you know, you go play games and, you know, the leaders tell you, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. And, you know, I'm not saying that you got to go home, you know, load up your MP3 player with sermons and listen to sermons all day because you get nothing done. And, you know, all life can't be camp. It's just the way it is. But think how much time you have spent in God's word outside of camp. And if you think, man, it's not really that much, or it's not really existing at all, I don't really spend any time in God's word at all, then that's probably why it's so hard. Because if you don't know your God, if you're not living in the presence of your God, then you have absolutely no strength to go on. And some of you will go home and you know you'll be so excited to do all the things that you've learned, to keep in your devotions, to stand up for what you believe. And then you'll find in a couple weeks that, man, it is hard. And you know, some of you will fail. And all of us actually do fail. And you know, you might go a week and you do your devotions, you know, every day, and you're so faithful, and then you fall. And then you're like, ah. And then you get back up, and then you go a few more days, and then you fall for 3 days. And then you're like, ah. And so you get up again, and you keep going, and then you fall another day. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that a righteous man, yeah, he falls, but he always gets back up. And the test of your faithfulness in your Christian life isn't if you're perfect, because if you live that way, you're going to be so frustrated, and you're never going to get anywhere. But if you live every day knowing today God's mercies are new, today God can help me make the choices I need to make, today I commit my day to God. And if you do that every day, it will shock you how rewarding and amazing fellowship with God can be. In the Psalms, if you would turn with me to Psalm 16, I absolutely love this verse. It's the last verse of Psalm 16. Psalm 16 in verse 11, and it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And our lives were made to love and adore and glorify our God. That's what we're made for. And if we try to live the way the world tells us, it's not going to work. You know, it's like a car that wants to be a boat. You know, in this car, he goes to the dock and just drives off. Will that car succeed in being a boat? No way, that's stupid. The car's going to get waterlogged, the water's going to go all in the engine, and it's going to totally ruin that car. And there's no way that, well, there is a way you can drive it again, but it'll be a lot of work. I know because one of my friends went mudding last semester, didn't check how deep one of the puddles were, went in, and his engine just sucked up tons of water, smoke going everywhere. It took him months to fix that truck. But, you know, a car is not going to succeed in being a boat. It's not what it's made for. And people aren't going to succeed in being happy, living the way the world tells them to, because that's not what we're made for. We're made to love God. And the Psalms also say, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And when I was a teenager, you know, I kind of struggled with that verse. You know, I looked at my parents, and my parents are in Christian work, and I know that they love God. And, you know, I look at them, and, you know, our car would break down, and, you know, we'd have to buy another car, and it would be, you know, just the lowest kind of car you could get. And, you know, it was just never that much money, never could live, you know, a way a lot of people do. And, you know, I was like, you know, they're loving God, and why isn't God blessing them? But, you know, God was blessing them because they loved God. And the verse says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart." And the key is, if you delight in the Lord, then the Lord is the desire of your heart. And God has absolutely no problem in giving you himself, because that's what he wants for you. And he knows that, you know, some people can handle having a lot of money. And some people, you know, even though they might be able to handle it, it's not his will for them. And some people, you know, they can't handle it. And so they have to live humbly before God, in dependence on God every day. But God knows those things. But the thing is, if you love God, God has no problem and giving you himself. And Jesus describes the joy that you will have living in the presence of God like a cup filled up to the top, pressed down, and still flowing over. And that is an amazing thought. You know, the world has none of this to offer. And we live in the world to love them and to make an impact on them, to win them to Christ. But to live the way they do, they have nothing compared to the joys that are in the presence of God. And when Jacob finally realized that, he got rid of his idols, all the things that were distracting him from worshiping Yahweh, the true God. And he led his family from that point on as best as he could in the ways of God. And if you would turn with me also to Revelation, the very last chapter, chapter 21. And this is also one of my favorite passages, because in the end, God is a rewarder. You know, the Bible says that if you come to God, you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder, and that he loves to give you rewards. And this is the kind of reward that those who believe in God and love God and live in the presence of God have to look forward to. And in verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.'" And that is amazing. In the end, for those who love and treasure God, he will make all things new, and everything that fell at the curse will be wiped away, tears, pain, death, the crying, and it will all be gone. And God will look on you, and he will declare himself, "I am the beginning and the end. I am all that matters, and to you I will give eternal life, an inheritance that Christ has earned for you." And there you will live in the presence of God forever, and you will love it. But you know, there's absolutely no reason why you have to wait to live in the presence of God until then. Because you can be doing that now and every day and for the rest of your life, learning more and more what it is to live in the presence of God and to love and know your God. And that is awesome. To know that one day it will all be complete, and we will see God perfectly, and there will be no fault in us. But we don't have to wait for God to make us into that. We're supposed to be more and more like God every day. So I hope that was encouragement to you, and that you learned something. And to just humble yourself before God, to throw all your plans out the window, and to live by faith, knowing that if you live today the way God wants you to live today, and if you ask God to bless you, he will be faithful. Because God says, you know, the reason you don't have is because you don't ask. And sometimes it's because you have other idols in the way. And at this point, up to this point in the week, we've been looking at, you know, some of Jacob's faults. But this is something that we want to be like. Put away idols and living always in the presence of God. Father, I thank you for this morning and for these teens and for helping them to stay awake and the good attention. And I just pray for them that you would watch over them like you promised. And we know that you've promised us so many things and that you will be faithful to all that you have promised. And I just pray that as we walk away from your word, that we would remember it and meditate on it, and that we would always love it and love you and follow you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.